join us this morning, and let's just gather our hearts in time to prepare for worship. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. were silent, surely it was through. But since your win is impossible, never stopped you. Friday's disappointment, and Sunday's empty tomb. Since when is impossible, never stopped you.
Again, open the grave, I'll come.
Elbow bumps. Thank you. Now for our announcement.
All right. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. Aren't you glad that His goodness is running after us? David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. The Lord's pursuing us with His goodness. Amen. Hey, let's just show some appreciation for our worship team this morning. They did a great job leading us into God's presence. Well, we're so glad that you joined us for worship this morning at Harvest Time. And we also want to welcome everybody who's watching us online this morning. We're so glad that we can connect with you in the Spirit and connect through technology. We want to thank you so much for all of your faithful financial support across this year. We appreciate all of your giving. God's been so faithful to us, but as we approach the end of this year, we do find that our general fund giving is down by about 10%. So if you are earning a paycheck, we thank you for remembering the Lord's tithe. Because of social distancing, we won't be passing an offering plate today, but we have placed some offering boxes near the entrances, and you can place your gifts in those boxes. You can also give online anytime. Just visit our website at www.htchurch.com and find the giving link that's there at the top of the page. And we thank you again for all of your support. Want to remind everybody of what we're doing at Harvest Time right now to help keep everyone healthy and safe. We ask that, as our governor has ordered, that you would wear your face coverings to enter and exit the building. Once you're seated and safely social distanced, you can remove your mask for worship if you would like to. We also have some special equipment that enables us to sanitize our classrooms and sanitize the sanctuary after every use. Pastor Glenn likes to call it the Ghostbuster. And following the social distancing and other guidelines that we've put in place on campus, that helps us to take care of people with health concerns, as well as people who are caring for loved ones who are vulnerable. So if you've been exposed to COVID, or if you're not feeling well, or if you're awaiting test results, we do ask that you worship with us online. Now, this week, because of the uptick in cases in the area and the new orders that have been issued by the state, we have had to make the difficult decision to suspend our Sunday kids ministries for the time being. And moms and dads, unfortunately, that does include our children's choir. We will be offering an online experience for our kids on Sunday mornings, the way that we were doing earlier in this year. We're sorry that we've had to take this step, you know, because we view church ministries as essential for all of our age groups. We're going to do everything that we can to keep all of our ministries open. We're very thankful that in Connecticut, I don't know if everybody realizes, but in Connecticut, religious gatherings do have fewer restrictions than many of the other states. But we do also need to stay in compliance with Governor Lamont's executive orders. And we want to let you know that we will resume our Sunday kids ministries just as soon as possible. So going forward, as you probably saw on the way in, but just for the benefit of those who are watching us online today, we will need to check to see that everyone has gotten tickets for our services using the Eventbrite service. Tickets are free, of course, and if you're not sure how to get tickets, please ask our staff for help out in the lobby today. As far as other ministries go throughout the week, small groups for junior and senior high, grades 6 through 12, will still be meeting Sunday mornings at 10. Wednesday groups for all ages will also continue to meet. So we just want to thank you for your help and cooperation as we seek to keep both our church family and, of course, all of our guests healthy and safe. If you're new to Harvest Time, let me ask you, please consider signing up for our email list and follow us on social media to get all of our updates. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're under the name HT Church in all of those places. A couple of quick reminders for you. We are still collecting shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child. That's a great way to bless a child in need this year. You can still get a shoe box, still a little time. Return it here by next Sunday. Check the display that's out in the lobby. We're also partnering again with Neighbor to Neighbor in a fall food drive. You can bring some non-perishable items to the church by next Sunday. There is a reception area for those items out in the Phase 1 lobby. Don't forget the Soul Care Conference that begins this Thursday with our friend Dr. Rob Reamer. Soul Care is designed to help us find freedom through Jesus and overcome broken areas in our lives. For more information on that, you can visit our website or get in contact with Pastor Anita. All right, if you have your Bible or your Bible apps, I want to invite you to come over with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. The Word of God says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." Amen. Friends, Harvest Time Church is here for three things. We're here to help people believe, to help people find faith in Jesus, and we're here to help people belong to the family of God, and we're here to help people be light. God has called us to shine his light into a dark world. And over the past few weeks, Pastor Glenn has been sharing some wonderful messages about how we can live as lights in the world. And in the passage we just read this morning, God is telling us through the prophet Isaiah to arise and to shine with God's light. Let's talk this morning about how it's time to arise and shine. It's time to arise and shine. In your program today, there's a little handout that you can use to follow along with us as we look into the word of the Lord this morning. But will you pray with me? Let's invite the Father's blessing on our time in the word. Father, we come to you in Jesus' beautiful name this morning. We thank you for your holy word. It is a lamp for our feet and it is the light for our pathway. God, we rejoice in your word of promise today that your glory will come to us. Give us the revelation that we need today by your Spirit. Speak not only to our ears, but speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the prophet Isaiah seems to have had a greater revelation of the coming Messiah than anyone else in the Old Testament. 7 centuries before Christ, Isaiah foresaw his sufferings and his glory. You know, Isaiah saw so much that some people have suggested that we should actually maybe call his book the Gospel of Isaiah. And here in chapter 60 of his book, we find some of his most famous poetry. Isaiah is writing to a people who were in discouragement. The people of Israel couldn't see that God wanted to do great things for them. And so he brings them a word from the Lord that they should arise and shine. In this vision, Isaiah sees God coming to his people in glory. But when God comes in his glory, he finds his people sitting and disheartened as if they didn't know God's power. And so God observes that his chosen people seem to have come under the same cloud of gloom as their neighbors. Church, this was not a vision for Isaiah's day only. I think it was one of those visions that the prophets would receive, but yet sensing somehow that they might not be the ultimate recipients of the message. And these events have yet to be fulfilled. They were written for a future time, but they were also written for a future people. These truths do apply to Israel, but they also apply to you and me as the people of God. In this prophecy, God shakes his people with a word of command. He uses a shocking word to wake them up. He says, "Arise. Why are you sitting down? Get up and shine, because my glory has risen upon you." And I believe that he's saying the same thing to us today. If we listen closely, we can hear his words of encouragement and command. Arise, get up, shine your light. You know, church, if we could understand the glory that God wants us to experience, there would be no good reason not to arise and shine. But I find that many times when God expects to find me shining, he comes and he actually finds me sitting. Of course, sometimes, you know, in our human weakness, there are reasons why we find ourselves sitting and we don't really feel like arising and shining. Do you know that sometimes we sit because we're spiritually tired? Let's be honest. How many of you know that some battles are simply tiring? Anybody tired in 2020? Don't answer that. It's human nature, right, to say, let somebody else tackle it for a while, and then we just go kind of plop down in the shade for a little while. But if you're weary from life's battles today, God is saying you can get up again because your light has come. Sometimes we sit because we've blown it. You know, sometimes we pull back from the battle because we've made mistakes. Sometimes we feel unworthy and disqualified. And so we imagine in our minds that God, our heavenly coach, has put us on the bench. You know, God had to send us to the showers. But today, God is coming to you and he's saying, get up. My glory has risen upon you. Sometimes we sit because of discouragement. Sometimes disappointment has come into our lives, or there's been some bad news. How many of you know that discouraging news can take the fight out of us? Well, there's a natural tendency that we have, right? When we're hit by bad news, our bodies just give out on us. We even say to people, I hope you're sitting down for this, right? Listen, the Bible says that a man's spirit will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear that? God is coming to us this morning saying, I am here to encourage your heart so you can stand up again. And then sometimes the Lord finds us sitting because of grief. And I think this is important for a lot of people in this year and in this season. You know, Jewish mourners follow an ancient custom of sitting for 7 days while their friends come to comfort them. And in ancient times, the mourners would sit on the ground. They would dress in sackcloth, you know, like burlap, and they would put ashes on themselves. But God has a word for those who are mourning. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." God wants somebody to know here this morning, I believe, that there is a time to put away grief. Now listen, it's not my intention, of course, to minimize anybody's grief today. Grief is healthy and grief is appropriate. But church, listen, hear my heart. There's also a harmful kind of grief. There is a grief that we choose to hold on to. And that is a grief that can cripple my life. God says in his word that there's a time to mourn and there's also a time to laugh. He says, "I have come to give you beauty in place of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise in place of the spirit of heaviness." He says, it's time to arise and get up. How many of you know the devil seeks to crush a person's spirit? But the Bible says that God is the lifter up of my head. Be resolved in your spirit today that with God's help, yes, you can get up. We can get up off that seat that disappointment has pushed me down into. Make that choice. Respond to God's command today to stand up. Be determined to get out of the ashes and begin shining for him once again. But you know, getting up isn't even the end of it. God is also telling us to shine, arise and shine, for your light has come. Perhaps the best way actually to translate that from the Hebrew would be to say, stand up and be illuminated. Why? Because the glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. At the beginning of Isaiah chapter 60, God tells us 4 times that his light and his glory are coming to us and that people will see it on us. First, he says, your light has come. Then he tells us what that light is that's starting to shine on us. He says, it's the glory of the Lord that has risen upon you. Next, he said, the Lord will arise on you. And then finally, he says, what happens as a result of that? He says, his glory will be seen. It will be visible upon you. Wonderful promises. But just as we have to choose to get up, so too we have to choose to take a step into the light of God and shine. Church, this is the light of his personal presence filling my life. You know, we have not understood the power and the glory of the light of God. In Hebrew, the word for glory is the word kavod, and it means light, it means glory, it means honor and weightiness and reputation. The glory of God is awesome. When God's presence came into the temple, the Bible tells us that the priests could no longer stand because the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. God's glory represents his goodness and his power shining out at us from his presence. It'll cut through the darkness in your life. Do you know when God saw a world that was in disorder and chaos, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Only recently, actually, have we learned the true power of light. See, in the last 50, 60 years or so, we have discovered how to use lasers. And all that a laser is just really an intensely focused, coherent beam of light, rays of light, that we can use to bring healing, or so they tell us, to serve as a weapon also. And do you know that when the prophet Habakkuk, he had a remarkable vision of Jesus coming in his glory. Habakkuk saw the coming one and he said he had rays of light coming from his hands. And in that hiding place of his hands, that was the hiding place of his power, is what Habakkuk said. Isn't that awesome? The light of God brings healing and life to those who are walking in it. When the light of God breaks into your life, there is a difference. His presence brings transformation into your heart. Do you know that when the glory comes in, there is a fresh beginning for the people of God? And I want to explore with you how we can experience more of God's light and glory in our lives. And then we'll take a few minutes at the end to see what happens when we start to arise and shine for Him. How many of you want to know today a greater measure of His light and glory? Come on, let's see how we can do it. The first step is this: step into the light of the sun. Step into the light of the sun. The gospel is the good news of salvation. But did you know that the Bible also portrays it as God's light coming into a world of darkness? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Matthew's gospel quotes Isaiah talking about Jesus' ministry. Now, we usually hear this verse as a part of the Christmas story, but it's really not about Christmas per se. It's really about Jesus' ministry. Matthew says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined." Do you know anybody that's walking in darkness, maybe living in the land of shadow of death, that needs the light of Jesus this morning? You see, before we came to Christ, the Bible says we were walking in darkness. Without God, the human heart is foolish and it's darkened. Paul the Apostle tells us in Ephesians, "Awake, you who are asleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." So if there's darkness or despair in your life this morning, Jesus is speaking to you. He's saying, "I have come to bring the light and the glory of God into your heart." Paul tells us that God has shined in our hearts in order to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. I love that. Did you catch that? God says, "Listen, you can experience my glory. People can experience my glory, but it's only to be found in one place." The Bible says it can only be found in the face of Jesus. Only in our Savior do we find light and peace. You know, there's something different about people who are alive in Jesus Christ. Sometimes you can tell, right? You ever go to the supermarket and you're like, I just know that person's a Christian over there. I can just tell. They just look like they're a Christian. What is that? See, when the light of Jesus is shining on you and coming out of your heart, people will notice. And when my face isn't shining with His light, then I'm kind of guilty of false advertising. But you can shine because Christ, your light, has come to shine on you and to shine within you. I want you to turn and tell your neighbor, "I didn't know you were that bright." That's why Isaiah could say, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Why? Because He's shining out at you. Christians are like the moon. You know, we're like the moon. We have no light of our own, but we reflect the glory of the sun. In our case, the S-O-N. Let's believe in Jesus, the light of the world, so that His glorious light will radiate out of our lives. Amen. The second way to experience the light and glory of God is this: keep walking in His ways. Keep walking in His ways. All right, now I'm going to preach at you for a couple minutes, if that's all right. I mean, you came to church, so you may as well get preached at. It'll warm you up. Amen. The Bible teaches us that if we walk in His ways, I like this, we have light, but if we walk in His ways, God will give us even more light. In Psalm 112, King David said, "Light arises in the darkness, listen, for those who are upright. He," meaning the upright person, "is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous." So here God's telling us that we stay in the light, and our light actually increases by being upright, or literally Hebrew means be straight, to be honest. Church, let nothing crooked into your life. It's not worth it. Refuse the temptation to be crooked in business or any other area of your life. You know that we live in one of the wealthiest regions on planet Earth, and with much money comes much temptation also. Don't give in to shady practices. Don't cut corners to make that extra buck. The Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence. Everybody does it. Who's going to know? Beware of the spirit of I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Stay in God's light by being gracious and compassionate. Remain in his light by loving others with his love. John the Apostle said, he who loves his brother, listen, remains in the light, and there is no stumbling block in him. I love that. In other words, as long as I love, I remain in his presence, and then I'm safe. No offenses can take up residence, take up root in my heart, and create bitterness. John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we experience the light of God by believing in Jesus, who is the light, and then we experience his light by walking in it. A third way to experience his light is this: keep looking into his word. Keep looking into his word. Do you know that the word of God is also filled with the light of God? Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, and it's the light for my pathway. So if my path seems just a little too dark this morning, perhaps I have failed to utilize the lamp of God's word. Light speaks of wisdom. King David says in that same psalm, the entering in of your words gives light. I love that. You hear that again. The entering in of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Better not point at anybody when I read that verse. But simple people there is not an insult, okay? Simple people there means people who are inexperienced, people who need wisdom. And church, if that's you, and listen, it's all of us to some extent, right? If that's you, then know that the Bible will give you wisdom. It'll make you smarter. There's got to be more than one amen on that. Come on. Maybe you've met people who seem to have such wisdom that you can almost see it resting on them. And that wisdom only comes to people who keep looking into the word of God. God's wisdom comes when we use the Bible as our daily bread instead of using it as an occasional snack. Oh, yeah, he did say that. Let's never get so busy, church, that we lay aside his word. Let's stay in his word, and we'll see his light growing brighter and brighter. His words can make me wise in every area of my life. How do we experience his light and his glory in our lives? One more way: we keep looking into his face. Keep looking into his face. I have to pay Charles $1.50 every time I show that picture, right? We experience his glory powerfully when we gaze upon him in worship. The more of his light, the more of his glory you look at, the more of it we see, the more that glory will come to rest upon you. And I don't know if you've ever considered this, but you and I, as human beings, we were designed in such a way that we're going to become like whatever it is that we worship. Do you know that you will start to resemble whatever you worship inside and out? If the God of your nation is lustful or bloodthirsty, then your nation will be also. The Greek gods actually behaved worse than the people who worship them. Even today, a nation that follows cruel gods will give birth to a cruel people. The Bible says this about idols. Listen, those who make them are like them. So is everyone that trusts in them. Sometimes we hear about an unspeakable crime, and we say, what could make somebody do such a thing? The answer is often quite simple. It is what that man was thinking on in his heart. Doesn't the Bible say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he? It's what he was thinking upon. That's what inspired him to do that. But when we worship the living God, God will manifest his presence in a powerful way. Listen, this is good here. Psalm 22 says, he inhabits the praises of his people. Yes, yes, God is everywhere. Don't come up to me after the service and say, Pastor Nick, God is everywhere. I know God is everywhere, but listen, when we praise him, God is telling you that he then begins to release more of his glorious presence into our midst. And church, you cannot manufacture that kind of presence, and you can't fake it, because it's his living presence, excuse me, inviting you to come deeper into his glory. So listen, it's not about how good the song is. No, it's about my heart. It's about your heart moving towards his heart. When his glory comes, you can feel it in the atmosphere. The wind of the Spirit rushes in, bringing people healing and breaking their bondages. Listen, I want you to hear this. The anointing will break the devil's oppression off your life, but the glory of God will transform you. God designed you to experience his glory. You were made for it. You were made for the glory of God. I want you to think about this. The Bible doesn't say we have fallen short of the standards of God. It says we have fallen short of the glory of God. David prayed that the Lord would enlarge his heart. And indeed, the more we worship the Lord, the more it seems of his glory that our hearts can contain. The Bible tells us we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are being changed into that same image from glory to glory. He sees you this morning that you are at one level of glory, and he wants to take you up to the next level of glory, and it happens by gazing upon him. And worship is a master key to experiencing that transformation. So we need to worship him in this house, amen? And you also need to worship him in your house too. God's saying, I myself am going to arise upon you, and my glory is going to be seen upon you. Come on, I want you to pray that with me right here in the middle of this message. Come on, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, let your glory be seen upon me. Amen. Those are some keys to experiencing his glory. But then Isaiah went on. He went on to tell us what happens when God's glory is visible in our lives. What will happen when his glory is seen upon me? So let's talk just for a few minutes before we close about the results of the glory. What are the results of being a people who shine with God's glory? You know, the Lord has some beautiful words of promise here in Isaiah 60 for those who will rise up and shine with his light. So the first promise is this: you will shatter the darkness. You will shatter the darkness. In verses 2 and 3, God says, his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You know, friends, as the world seemingly continues to deteriorate, the contrast between our lives and the darkness of the world will be clearly seen. In other words, the light that is in you will stand out more and more. Do you believe that? We know that it doesn't matter, though, how dark a room gets, because light always drives out darkness. I don't know about your house, but in my house, as long as my light bulb is good and there's no power outages like there usually are like every week, the dark has never defeated one of my light bulbs. Just saying. The Apostle John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The powerful light of God inside of you can always drive away people's fear and drive away people's spiritual confusion. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're brighter than I thought you were. But friends, let's not be naive about these times. And sometimes this is a little bit of a problem with younger believers. Let's not be naive about this time. Isaiah says darkness will cover the earth, and a deep darkness will even cover the people. So let's be mature and recognize that darkness will be present, but let's not be shaken by that. Do you know that Jesus said that we would know some trouble? He didn't say to always expect, you know, rainbows and butterflies. No, Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Tribulation, trouble. So thank God I'm at the 8:30 service, right? But thank God Jesus added to that, he said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have confidence in Christ that the light of God that is inside of us will shatter the darkness in this world. Second result of being a people of God's glory is this: you will see a great harvest of souls. So this is a word for harvest time this morning. People who shine with God's glory will see a great harvest of souls. They will be attracted to the favor that is on you. God says we should expect it. Dr. Rana, keep praying for your patience because the Lord says you're entering into a fresh season of reaping. Amen. Isaiah says the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Gentiles there means unlikely people, people you would not expect to be interested in the things of God. It even can represent people who might have opposed you in the past. How many of you have friends and loved ones who have no interest in the things of God? But God says, my glory upon you will cause them to come to me. This passage also speaks about kings. Kings are obviously the prominent people of this world. There will be people of influence who will come to see you shining with the glory of God. And God has positioned us in a place where there are, of course, notable leaders of every kind. Let's believe God to reach them through us. Church, we need to be people of his presence today. It is not enough to just be people who enjoy good fellowship and a little theology. That is not enough to reach America and the nations. Nor can cool technology and lighting get the job done. Good programs have never won a nation to Christ. Money alone can't do it. Just being nice to people has never won a nation to Christ. It's 2020, all right. So even being on the right side of the issues has never brought a nation to Christ. Here in Isaiah 60, God says they will come to you for one reason and one reason only. They will come to your light and they will come to the brightness of your rising. Third thing he says is this. This is a good one for many of you. You will enjoy a day of restoration. Down in verse 4, here's a great promise. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. God says sons and daughters will return to us, even those who are far away. People and things that have become lost to us will be returned. Church, God cares about our relationships. He wants us to be whole. Keep praying that the glory of God in your life will melt the ice in relationships and that restoration will come. Somebody's got to grab a hold of that today. Pray for your loved ones' hearts to be melted through the love of God touching them, and do not give up. Another result of the glory is this: you will have provision from unlikely sources. Some of you need this in 2020. Verse 5 reveals some unusual sources of blessing. He says, then you'll see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. So here God says that his increasing glory in your life will put an end to those constant drains on your finances. He says the sea itself will bring you its riches. You know, in this passage, even the enemies of Israel are bringing gifts to the Lord. As these pagan nations begin to turn to him, they begin to get God's heart for God's people, and they begin to bless God's people. We see them bringing gifts and offerings for the temple of the Lord. There's different nationalities mentioned here bearing gifts of great wealth, all because they have learned to fear God. Verse 6 says they even start praising God. Hallelujah. Do you know God can bless you in the craziest ways? I'm glad that his ability to bless me is only limited by his imagination and not my imagination. There may be somebody out there who owes you a camel or two. Amen. Let's believe God together for his blessing. All right. Finally, one more result of his glory in our lives, and we'll wrap it up here. God promises us an ever-increasing glory in his house. An ever-increasing glory in his house. God says something odd in verse 7. He says he will glorify or make beautiful the house of his glory. It says, I will glorify the house of my glory. What could it mean to say that God will glorify the house of his glory? I think it means this. Church, if God comes and he finds a life or he finds a church that is dedicated to his glory, he will fill that life or he will fill that church with even more glory than it already has. This is our challenge, to not only seek his presence, but to ensure that everything we do will bring pleasure to his heart. That God will be pleased to come to our lives and to come to our church and our churches with an even greater measure of his glory than we've already known. How awesome if God were to look this morning at harvest time and say, that's a house that's dedicated to my glory, so I'm going to glorify it even more. Amen. Worship team, you can come back, please, if you would. Friends, what a destiny God has for us as a people. We know it seems today that the expectation of people's hearts is gloomy, and with elections and viruses and all these things. You know, the atmosphere is just kind of crackling almost with anxiety. But God says, don't succumb to the fears of the people who are around you. This is your opportunity to display the glory of God. It's your hour to shine his glory. Yes, God says there's some darkness, but I will arise over you and my glory will be seen upon you. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we flipped the script on 2020? What if 2020, instead of being known for what we all think it's known for, what if 2020 ended up being known as the year that the glory of God began to invade our churches and our houses? The year that it invaded our streets and our cities and our entire nation. What if we believed God for that glory so that kings would come to the brightness of our rising? We can see that happen, but we're going to need to heed God's command that we should arise and shine. Keep worshiping and witnessing. Keep praying and keep believing. We can overcome every struggle and face the future with faith and confidence in him. You can overcome discouragement and past failures. His light and his glory changes everything. Come on, I want you to say it with me. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. Come on, let's stand together. Give Jesus a good praise in his house this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just before we go, I want to pray for us along these lines, but just kind of keep strumming on there, and I want you to lift a hand. Just the rest of the band doesn't have to play, but just lift your voice and sing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Lord, we lift up our hands to you this morning, asking for more of your glory. But Father, I pray this morning for all who are seated today, Lord God. Mostly not of their own doing, Lord, but just because of life. I pray for those who are weary in spirit. I ask you to touch them with your glory. God, would you touch those who have come to feel that they are disqualified? Touch those who are in discouragement and disillusionment this morning. Touch and minister, God, to those who have been overtaken by grief. We ask you for light, and by faith we receive your light, Lord. We choose, Father, to keep looking into your word, and we choose to keep looking into your face in your word and in prayer and in worship. God, would you bring your great and precious promises to fulfillment in our lives, Lord, as a people of glory. Father, drive away that darkness. Use us to shatter the darkness. Father, give us what we read in your word, that there's a great harvest of souls. Bring us, God, into that season, a promised season of restoration in our relationships and in finances because of the glory. God, through your glory also, give us that provision from unlikely sources. And Father, we want to see an ever-increasing tide of glory in our homes and here in your house. Come on, say to him, more of your glory, Lord. More of your glory, Lord. More of your glory. Glorify this house, God, with more of your glory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, church, give him one more hand of praise. He's worthy. He's worthy today. Worship team's going to sing, and sing with them as they sing one more time about the goodness of God. God bless you, church. I'm going to put on my mask and head to the back and greet you. Have a great week in the Lord.
God bless you and God keep you. You are dismissed. Thank you.